outreach, we've done a few things. Number one, take it to the straight point. Number one, it's been advertised on Rhema Radio. Has anybody heard the advert?
I heard it once, sir.
You heard it once. Please be on the lookout for it. Number two, we've got a music minister that's coming from Melbourne.
Yes.
He's Pastor Mike's spiritual daughter.
Yes.
Very powerful lady. She's creating her own album, so she'll be coming. She'll be coming with a guitarist. And then my daughter is going to be dancing as well.
Yes.
The next thing is we need to...
So you'll be dancing?
Well, you can come and see my dance.
Yes, don't it is regalia. It's the ministers.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Please, let us disseminate this information, okay? He said the harvest is ripe.
Yes.
It's only the laborer, I said, we should pray for. Say, pray that God will send laborers.
Yes.
So we've prayed for ourselves. God is sending us as laborers.
Yes.
So the harvest is there. But the harvest, we need to come to that venue to hear the gospel. How would they get there? Except somebody invites them.
Yeah.
So God to invite them. I'm inviting people. In fact, there's a gentleman I met today. He's from the Baptist Church, Nara Baptist Church. He came and he was saying, I don't know how we started to talk about church. He just said he goes to Nara Baptist Church. I said, you're a Baptist. I said, me too. I was raised a Baptist. So we're able to connect on that level. I will go to their church maybe next Sunday or not this Sunday to go and hang out with them.
Yeah.
You know? And please, let's disseminate this flyer. Invite people, especially those who are not Christians. Let them come. I sat with the area director of emergency medicine on the central coast today. We're examining final year medical students. He's a big boy, you know, he's area director. We started to talk about, you know, this program. I said, I'm going to invite you and your four children and let them bring their friends. You know, you have to bring these people and let them come and see.
Yes.
Tonight, I want to share some word with you about the word of God. Peter said, it will be negligent of me if I do not remind you of these things, even though you know them. So tonight, what I'm going to say, you know them already. But there's a place for reminding ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be found negligent. You don't want to show up before God and God say, did you remind them? Oh, no. Why? Negligence. May God help us. So tonight, don't feel that, you know, I'm going to overflood this thing, right? It's scriptural. So, talking about the word of God, I'll try and make it as brief as possible, sir. What is the word of God? What is it? The Bible says that in the beginning was the word. This is John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the word. He calls it the eternal word of God. He said, and that word was with God. This is New King James translation I'm reading now. In the beginning was the word, and that word was with God, and the word itself was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Sure.
If this word itself is God, and referring to Jesus, what value do you place on this word of God? It's powerful. I don't know if you thought about it that way. It calls that word God himself. And this God, he calls him the King of Kings. So if you ever went before a king, maybe you went to England, you went to King Charles. For those of us who come from Africa, you know to go to some kings. In my tribe where I come from, they call him the Olu of Warri. What is he called?
The same.
When you go before those people, do you know what they do? Sometimes you go... In fact, this is what they do.
Sure,
this is before human beings.
Yeah.
But there's a God who's called the King of Kings.
Come on. Sure.
I don't know if you're trying to connect with the kind of picture I'm trying to paint of the power, the height, the might, and the strength of this God. And he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. You see, all things were made through this Word. Nothing was made outside this Word. How do you see the Word of God? Do you see the Word of God as just another piece of literature? Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, all scripture is. You see the word there, he said, all scripture, gave it singular. So that means you can't split it. He didn't say all scripture, all scriptures are. He didn't say so. He said all scripture is inspired by God, meaning or suggesting that this scripture is one. Some people have put it to Old Testament and New Testament. Some people cannot say, well, that is the old dispensation. We don't do that anymore. People are saying that. You see, all scripture is inspired. Not some scripture. Not 99% of scripture. All means what?
All.
Inspired by God. For what? You see, it is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is a belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church. So which means this scripture has got to be taught, right? It's got to be believed. It's got to be held in high esteem. It didn't stop there. He said it's also profitable for reproof.
Yeah.
We live in a day and age where people don't like to be reproved anymore.
Yeah.
What is reproof? He said it's an expression of blame or disapproval. In the house of God, you just can't do anyhow. You can't talk anyhow. You can't just present yourself anyhow. No. Except you don't know this God. If you know this God, he said, this God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. When you correct people, they say, no, I'm not going to that church anymore. They just told me that I lied, or they told me that I smoked. They told me I did this and did that. And for that reason, pastors can't reprove anymore. People can't be corrected anymore. People just live their lives anyhow. You say we need dispensation of grace, but it's not a license for us to do anyhow. May God help us in the name of Jesus. He said it's also profitable for correction. What is that? He said the action or an instance of correcting. So a child is growing up, trying to misbehave. He said, no, you don't do it that way. All right, that is the way it should be. He says it's also profitable for instruction. What is instruction? He said detailed information about how something should be done or operated in righteousness. So there's an how to do this thing. There's a way to serve God. There's a way to live a Christian life. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul was writing, I beg you, say, be not conformed to the world. You can't afford to conform to the world. Then what should you do? He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
If you were a sinner before, you come into this kingdom. It is grace. It is free. You come just as you are. But there must be a transformation. You can't remain the same. If you remain the same, then you are not his follower. You can't be the same and say you are like Jesus. No. You can fool yourself, but you can't fool everybody. Be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. Why? That you may be able to prove what is that good, what is that acceptable, and what is that perfect will of God. Then what this suggests that you can prove this Christianity. You can prove it.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
How do you prove it? You let yourself be transformed.
Yeah.
How do you get transformed? The Word. Be not conformed to this world. In fact, this is what I do. What I do, when I want to make it, take a decision, first I want to find out what the world is doing. Then I'll look for the opposite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what the world is doing is always opposite to the Word of God.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Popular opinion is not God's opinion.
Yeah.
Don't mind what lie they tell us. They say, voice populi, voice dei. That is a lie from the pit of hell. How do we know? Aaron. Moses went to the presence of God. Aaron was with the people. The people said, Moses, Aaron, please give us a God.
Mm.
Is that not the voice of the people? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And Aaron gave him.
Yeah.
And when Moses came, Moses was so upset.
Mm.
Ah, it just...
Yeah.
You know the story very well. So voice of the people will never be the voice of God. So I go and search in the scripture. If it doesn't line up with the scripture, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way it should be for every child of God.
Sure.
So what should be our attitude to the Word of God? I'll quickly list them and read some scriptures and then I will close. Number one, the Word of God is God to be believed. Number two, the Word of God is God to be spoken. He said this book of the law, God was speaking to Joshua. He said, if you want to succeed, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But before it can come out of your mouth, it has to be in your heart first. Because it's only from the abundance of your heart that your mouth can speak. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Then how? He said, but you shall meditate upon it. How many times? At least twice. Day and night. So that you'll be able to observe, to do everything, that not something that is written in it. And when you're able to do that, he said, this is the guarantee. He said, you will make your ways prosperous. You will have good success. That implies that if there's good success, there must be bad success, right? We have doctors here. If you have right, you've got left. You've got anterior, you've got posterior. He said that you may have good success. So that means somebody like Jeff Bezos is a successful man, right? But that's bad success in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Will I envy him? No way.
Yeah.
You see, that is the recipe for good success.
Hmm.
You must speak it. Number three, you must study it.
Hmm.
Paul's writing to Timothy. He said, study to show thyself approved unto this God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says you must find it. That is number four. You must find this word of God. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, this is the guarantee. For these words of God, they are life to those who would find them and health to all their flesh.
Mm.
Have you experienced sickness? Has somebody experienced sickness? That's the recipe.
Yeah.
Is something in your system dying? The word of God.
Amen.
But you've got to find it. Where do you find it? You find it in the scriptures. You search it. You search it. And you begin to speak life into your system.
Mm.
Mm. And then the next one, he said, you must do it.
Mm.
In John chapter 2, Jesus was at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. Wine was gone. Mom said, son, wine is gone, do something. And as soon as mom said it, mom said to the servant, He said, whatsoever he tells you, do it. And Jesus told them something that didn't make sense to them. Dirty pot, fill it with water. Draw it, go and give to the chairman of the ceremony. In their mind, so this is dangerous. If we get there and this man discovers that we brought this water from this pot they used to wash their dirty feet, they will be so upset, they might even hang them. But the instruction was, do whatever he tells you. That was the secret behind the miracle. I don't know what God has told you. I hope you will muster the grace and the obedience to do it. It may sound childish, it may sound silly, but I can guarantee you that if you do it, you will experience a miracle. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Finally, you must keep it. John chapter 14 verse 21. He that had made commandments and kept them, he it is that loveth me. He said, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then when you go to verse, in the same John chapter 14, you go to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words.
Sure.
And my Father and I will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you want to experience the presence of God every day? It is in keeping his commandments.
Sure.
That is how you command the presence of God every day. You can't keep the word of God, you can't experience his presence. That is Jesus speaking. It wasn't Paul that was speaking. It wasn't Peter that was speaking. He said, if you love me,
yeah,
you will keep my commandment, you keep my word. That means you love me. I will love you in return. And the result is I and the Father will come and make our abode. We are English people, right? We speak English. What does it mean to make our abode? It's to stay in a place.
Yes,
how to bring the presence of God. He said, we'll come and make our abode with you.
Yeah, sure.
It is powerful when you carry the presence of God every day. Joseph carried the presence of God to the house of Potiphar. He was blessed. Carried it to the prison. He was blessed. Carried it to Pharaoh's palace.
Yeah.
That is how to get it. Don't leave the word of God. Acts chapter 6. And now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. You remember that story? Look at what the disciples did. It said, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. These days, people are leaving the word of God to go and serve tables.
Yeah.
It's a risky business. It's just a matter of time. You leave the word of God, you go and do other things. You know? Paul said, not in this house of God. He said, we can't afford to leave the word of God to go and serve tables. Now, you see the result of that singular decision. He said, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what we are here to do.
Amen.
Prayer and ministry of the word. And look at the result.
Yeah.
And the saying pleased them. And then they said, then the word of God spread. Because they gave attention to the prayer and ministry of the word. He said the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. If you want increase in your ministry, you can't afford to leave prayer and the ministry of the word. If you want your family to grow,
you can't afford to leave the word and prayer. If you want your business to grow, you can't afford to abandon the prayer and the word, for therein lies the secrets to growth. The Bible said they didn't just grow, it said they grew greatly.
Yeah.
It said they multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And important people, priests, people who thought they were serving God before, they now became obedient to the faith. Mm. Let us stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise tonight.
Amen.
For your word is powerful. This word that has been spoken tonight, oh God, I pray for everybody that's under the sound of my voice tonight, that there will be a renewal.
Yes.
Of our attention to your word, a renewal of our commitment to your word, a renewal of the value we place upon this word.
Amen.
The Bible says that the word of God is alive.
Amen.
Another translation says it is active,
yes.
It is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we thank you. Let your people experience this power behind the word, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise.
Amen.
Be thou exalted forever, O God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.